Blog Talk Radio.
Finding a job tomorrow morning. Got a little something I wanna do. Gonna buy something I could ride in. I take my girl, get her something at the drive-in. Tomorrow's gonna be written down in history. Just like Romeo and Juliet. Gonna buy the pretty present, just like the one in a catalog. Gonna show how much I love her. I let her know one way or the other. Our love's gonna be written down in history, just like Romeo and Juliet.
Able to for some reason sign on to Blog Talk Radio for the chat purposes. So if you're on chat room, I'm sorry I can't see you yet. I'll work on it though. And I didn't schedule that song to be played, but I guess it's an appropriate song because it's always about, for me anyway, love with a perfect relationship. And that's what Romeo and Juliet's about. Unfortunately, it ended up in a horrible way, but the fact of the matter is that, you know, in the 3D experience of love, it usually does end up that way. Someone always ends up losing something for their thing. Anyway, I just, before I started the show, I did my first group of masterminds for the ladies only, and it's the mastermind group to bring females that I know that are maybe anxious to reunite with the God I am, to a place of God realization and to state knowing that really they are the source that they've been searching for and seeking for, and the love that they've been searching for and seeking for. And it was wonderful. We're going to do it twice a week on Tuesday and Thursday nights. It'll be about 30 minutes each night. It'll be from 11 o'clock to 11:30 and for tonight, and then Thursday and the following Tuesday, we'll be doing an invitation concept. We'll be just basically talking about the first 3 weeks about, you know, what mind mastermind is all about, and also about you know, how we're going to approach this this group that we're about to approach, you know, the concepts that we want to bring forth and the peace and the love. And I'll be there to help anyone to remove that which is keeping them from their highest purpose and their desires realized. I've had a very rich life. I really feel blessed. I've had everything that any woman could ever imagine as far as body, mind experience, spirit experience. And so I want to give it back. I also want everyone to know out loud that I don't really advertise it that much, but I do private counseling on a one-to-one. And I've decided today, because someone approached me and they were really very anxious to become God realized, and they said they'd like to do sessions because they couldn't be on the show with me, on the Mastermind show, and they wanted to, you know, pay. And I said, you know, she said, what would you like? And I said, whatever you want to give. And it was beautiful what turned out. So I want to leave that open. And I did change my website today that anyone that wants to do a one-on-one session to me, it will be as you want to pay or as you can pay, because I really feel that it's a joint experience, and that I reap as I sow, and that you feel, if you feel the need and the desire to give what you feel that you are worth giving and receiving, then certainly do that too, because really as we give is as we receive. So I feel rich that I'm able to bring forth that which desires to be made known through me. And so the show tonight really is about, as usual, you know, a love story. I'm going to share that which we feel the most loved about and the most loving with. I had an experience which I think I'd like to open the show with, because it was really interesting. There's a lady that's been really a sweetheart in my life for years now. She just keeps showing up and offering her services for different, you know, things that I may need done. And through the concept that I was having with the uncomfortable experience that I was having a couple of weeks ago that I shared on the show, she was always there to kind of support me and tell me that, you know, give me ideas and all that stuff. So I really was so grateful to her. So I do a lot of one-on-one with her. And she and I were talking, and I asked her about, you know, say, how's love, you know, and she said, oh, he showed up and it's so wonderful. And I said, wait a minute. I asked you how love was. How are you loving yourself? And she said, oh, well, he's back. And I said, wait a minute. I asked you how you were feeling and how love is in your life, and you said that it's about who? Well, he's back again, so, you know, it really feels good. And no matter how many times I asked her, she said she didn't understand. You know, so I really think that maybe it's time to maybe reiterate or reestablish in me what I mean when I say that you are the love that you've been searching for. That the love that you are determines the love that you see in your reality, that what relationship you have with yourself is what you will receive in your life. And that's everything. And the more loved I am, the more loved I will be by my world. It can't be any other way. Initially, it may seem that love's opposite is what appears, but it really is not anything but the opposite of what you feel. And eventually that opposite will no longer have anything in your life, because in truth you are love. You know, and the only truth about us is love. And the more we become loving, the more we will cease to see love's opposite. So, and there are a few callers tonight, just bear with me, because I really feel like Gresham is what I've come to come on the show about. You know, I'm coming here to share what I've come to realize and to open up to the full potential that I am, and then be able to see it in my world. And again, working with these women is fabulous, because I really feel that I'm really nurturing myself in the process, because as I show them what I see in them, but someone said to me, a woman that I've known for many years, 20 years, and she just kind of came back in my life, and she said, you're amazing, because, you know, I watch you, and your whole intent is to make people feel good about themselves and to see who they are and to really celebrate their own reality. And as a matter of fact, when they see the negative, you're always seeing the positive, and almost to the point that it's uncomfortable for some, because they want to see their problems and you keep seeing the good. And so for me, again, that's what I'm here for. I'm here to remember, help people remember that they are beautiful, that they are one with the infinite field of potential, and that there really is nothing else to do but to remember that. And the more that I remember that, the more that I really glorify my world, that everybody around me feels it. And initially, like I said earlier, it may seem like, you know, it's not happening, or that you see a little bit here and a little bit there, and people are in trouble, and who's not going to be there, and who is going to be there. But in fact, what's really going on is that parts of you are starting to remember and reestablish a sense of security in knowing that they are loved and loved. I opened to A Course in Miracles tonight, and I really felt guided to read it, because I really feel that for me it has been the stabilizer in my life for the last 20-some-odd years, because when I picked up that book, I really felt like I went home. And I really feel like it's one of the most sacred texts that I've come to, you know, meet in my experience in this life. And this last week, oddly enough, I keep being faced with a questioner in my life. And it's a friend of mine, Daniel, who really, he's a born-again Christian, and he really feels that there's a good chance that after this life that I am going to burn in the fires of hell because I have not accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And I keep telling him that, yes, I have, because Jesus Christ is my way, because I love what he does. He's like the coolest dude on the planet. And even if he wasn't really a dude, maybe he was just a metaphor, but the fact is that I want to be just like him, you know? And I want a man to incarnate to be just like him so that I can walk in eternal bliss with this guy, because that's what Jesus is to me. And he keeps saying, but you don't get it. You have to follow him after death. You've got to understand that when you leave the body, he's going to be waiting for you. And the second coming is that he's going to come back to this world and change it. And I keep saying, Daniel, but you don't understand. I am one with him now. I'm celebrating his life now. And every time that I share love, he's being born again through me. Anyway, there's a lot of, every night he's got some kind of something. And then the night after the last night, he said, another man trust me started saying the same thing to me, that I better beware because Jesus Christ is, you know, he was a drunk and he was a this and that was a that, and they found Jesus and now they're great and they're going to live in heaven after they die. And I said, but heaven is now, you know, it's hell or heaven. Anyway, the point I'm making is that I opened A Course in Miracles and I opened to this section and I found it was really mind-boggling, and it's called The Message of the Crucifixion. And I'd like to read some of it and have those that are listening just feel for a moment what's coming through here. And for me, I always share this on my classes because I think it's so absolutely beautiful. And I sometimes make it like a parody because I really think at some point Jesus was really saying, you know, this is not real. The body is not real. I'm hanging it up to show you that I can rise above it. So what's real, the body or the spirit I am? So anyway, in The Message of the Crucifixion, it says, for learning purposes, let us consider the crucifixion again. And this is Jesus speaking, by the way. So it's said that it's him speaking. I did not dwell on it before because of the fearful communications you may associate with it. The only emphasis laid upon it so far has been that it was not a form of punishment. Nothing, however, can be explained in negative terms only. There is a positive interpretation of the crucifixion that is wholly devoid of fear, and therefore wholly benign to what it teaches, if it is properly understood. The crucifixion is nothing, The crucifixion is nothing more than an extreme example. Its value, like the value of any teaching device, lies solely in the kind of learning it facilitates. It can be and has been misunderstood. This is only because the fearful are apt to perceive fearfully. I have already told you that you can call on me to share my decision and thus make it stronger. I have also told you that the crucifixion was the last useless journey this friendship need take, and that it represents release from fear to anyone who understands it. That's pretty cool. Okay, so let me find that. Why do I keep losing my place? Guys, come on. While I emphasize only the resurrection, come on, the purpose of the crucifixion and how it actually led to the resurrection was not clarified then. Nevertheless, it has a definite contribution to make to your own life. And if you will consider it without fear, it will help you understand your own role as a teacher. You have probably reacted for years as if you were being crucified, and that's when we go through, God, she's doing this, and oh my God, I suffered in that body, and that is, oh, whatever. And he says in the Course of Miracles that we carry the cross, and he did the last crucifixion. We don't have to carry it anymore. Anyway, he goes on to say, this is a marked tendency of the separated who always refuse to consider what they have done to themselves. Projections means anger. Anger forces assault, and assault promotes fear. The real meaning of the crucifixion lies in the apparent intensity of the assault of some of the sons of God upon another. This, of course, is impossible and must be fully understood as impossible. Otherwise, I cannot serve as a model for learning.
A soul can ultimately be made only by the body. There is little doubt that one body can assault another and can even destroy it. Yet, if destruction itself is impossible, anything that is destructible cannot be real. And, of course, the miracle says nothing real can be threatened and nothing unreal exists. And here lies the peace of God, when you really get that the physical body is just a costume. It's just clothing. And that person that we perceive as a body hurting us, hurting what? Hurting our persona, hurting our costume for the day, you know? And it tears us and it beats us and whatever it is. But in truth, the spirit I am is infallible. It is indestructible. So it says its destruction, therefore, does not justify anger. To the extent to which you believe that it does, you are accepting false premises and teaching them to others. The message the crucifixion was intended to teach was that it is not necessary to perceive any form of assault in persecution because you cannot be persecuted. If you respond with anger, you must be equating yourself with the destructible and therefore regarding yourself insanely. I have made it perfectly clear that I am like you and you are like me, but our fundamental equality can be demonstrated only through joint decision. You are free to perceive yourself as persecuted if you choose. When you do choose to react that way, however, you might remember that I was persecuted as the world judges and did not share this evaluation for myself. And because I did not share it, I did not strengthen it. I therefore offered a different interpretation of attack and one which I want to share with you. If you will believe it, you will help me teach it. As I have said before, as you teach, so shall you learn. If you react as if you were persecuted, you are teaching persecution. This is not a lesson a son of God would want to teach if he is to realize his own salvation. Rather, teach your own perfect immunity, which is the truth in you, and realize that it cannot be assailed. Do not try to protect it in yourself, or you are believing that it is assailable. You are not asked to be crucified, which was part of my own teaching contribution. You are merely asked to follow my example in the face of much less extreme temptations to misperceive and not to accept them as false justification for anger. There can be no justification for the unjustifiable. Do not believe there is, and do not teach that there is. Remember always that what you believe, you will teach. Believe with me. Believe with me, and we will become equal as teachers. I want to stop there for a second because what keeps coming up to me is that for me, and this is just me, it's very personal, my relationship, because when I had the awakening in 1994, I really did not know love's opposite. For many years, I really and truly lived in total bliss, and I tell you that was the best remembrance in my 3D experience because I do not remember suffering at all for many, many years. I didn't see the child being abused. I did not hear about this one that was upset in that situation. All I wanted to do was share love, and all I got back was love. And all I wanted to do was hug and kiss everybody I met because I really believed only in love. And for me, as what I came to realize through being a Reiki master and a hands-on healer and a clairsentient and everything that was bringing forth the vessel, to the vessel, the God I am, that wanted to bring everything back to love, was I was seeing love's opposite and I would transform it immediately. I'd walk into a room where somebody was upset and change them completely and they'd be smiling. Or I would see somebody that was maybe complaining about being sick, and within minutes they were fine, because I did not buy into the lie of persecution, of dis-ease, of dis-peace. I didn't see it, so I didn't be it, and this is very important. I just got somebody who wrote me this thing on private that said, you know, how dare you not sign this petition? You know, if we don't change this, it's not going to change. And I said, I'm here to go to the other side. I'm here to walk the distance. I'm not here to protest with the groupies that want to see change but don't know how to change in themselves.
Because as I judge another is as I am judged, or as I judge a situation is as I see the situation. So I rather, for me, see it as I want it to be. You know, I came home last night and there was this cat, an orange cat, at my door. It was really cold. And this cat, it must have been young, it was maybe a year old, and it was so in love with me. And it was dark, and she was so, she wanted to play and hug, and I was like a little girl because I knew in my world there's this peaceful, gorgeous, little loving cat and that I had with a tabby. This was a tabby, and I was like, oh, the spirit of my baby, I cannot. And I was so excited. I wanted to feed her and bathe her and milk her and all kinds of stuff. I wanted to do everything. But I saw that that was a representative of me. I wake up knowing that I am one with God. I wake up that knowing that my only intent is to love and be loved. And I really bathe in that. And as I go through my day, I have to stay consciously aware that that's the only objective there is. I cannot change things in the world if I do not come back to love. Because all the protests and all the fighting and all the gathering and adversity does nothing but the same that we try to change. It causes more stress than in the field. And if, in fact, we are one with the one, then we are in constant connection with the field. So for me, I'd rather speak still and know that and allow my imagination, which is really the source of all form, to become so completely enamored by the vision that I choose to see in my world and just stay there and see it expand until it absolutely projects itself outward and bounces into the form and the circumstances and the situations that I choose to see in my dream state, in my imagination workhouse or workshop. And really, that's basically what I believe, that once we become conscious creators, that we're here to do and be. So to be and see, I should say, because I don't really believe it's so much the doing in the physicality of movement. I believe it's all occurring in the mind. And when I'm in that complete vibratory of higher experience within my own being, it seems like miracles abound. Everything happens in absolute harmony, you know. And for all those aspects of me out there that are suffering right now, you know, I have a friend, David, who's going through his own little personal Armageddon. And I tell you, I spoke to him the other night, and he sounded like a child, so innocent and so, and saying, Ananda, it's just another experience, and I'm in the hospital, and now they want to do this. And you know what? There's no resistance in me. It's just a dream. I'm just walking through it as such. And he has every reason to be completely, you know, horridly, you know, adverse to what's going on. Every reason to claim victimhood and poor me and, ah, somebody save me. And instead he's dancing with the diseases that he's bringing forth through him, or that he's allowing himself to bring forth. And for me, I see it like Roto-Rooter is going through him. He's going through a complete cleansing. And he's allowing it to be. He's not fighting and kicking and screaming and questioning. Why? He's just letting it be. And it's just amazing. And I send him so much love. And anyone else that, you know, has opinions out there that's judging someone for not being okay with them, you know, I give you all the rights to decide what you want to feel. But you know what? It really is about you. It's about time that you look at you and stop projecting outward that which you want to claim another as doing to you. And Daniel, you know what? I am good with God. I really feel great with God. I feel like I'm living. I'm not looking for a moment past this moment to be with him, because he already is alive in me. So thank you. Maybe it's time to look at you. Maybe it's time for anyone out there that's looking to blame another and use another and you know, excuse another understand that everything that's going on around you is just a projection of what you're not looking at with yourself. And for me, I constantly become that which I see in me, at me, and realign and say, okay, I'm a little bit disoriented because look what's there. Or I'm a little discordant in my approach. Let me come back in and go back to peace. Anyway, it's really for me, again, all about love. And I really feel a lot of emotion coming up because I really feel that, you know, for us as a mankind, as a people, that it's really time to awaken. It's really time to take full responsibility for what I am and see that everything in my world is trying to show me that I am not completely at peace or that I'm not in good energy because I'm seeing that which is not good and not lovely and not peaceful and not well. And to do something about it within, to actually change within, so that I could see the change in my brother, so that I could see Daniel and have a beautiful cup of coffee and not even consider us not. I just said to him, you know what, instead of seeing me going to hell after the body dies, why don't you see me in heaven with you now? He said, I would love that. And I said, then see it. Don't look at what you want to change in another. Look at what you'd like to see with that other. You know, look at it now. If your circumstances aren't good, go within. If your relationship is failing, go within. Because in truth, nothing is anything but what you make it be. And we may not be aware of that because we think that what we see is not of us. And we think that that relationship is horrible because he did that to me. Or because he has that problem or she has that addiction. But the truth of the matter is, they're only giving me what I'll accept or not. And for a lot of us in perceptual reality that I've come to realize, at least in my relative reality, is that a lot of people in my world are afraid of committing to love, personal love. Never mind with another person. They'd rather say, I'm not in love because that's not in my life. I'm not good because that's acting that way. Again, it's the love channel. The love channel. If I was to be anything but love here, I would not be authentically who I am. So I work at it, you know. This experience, this beautiful, you know, moment that I choose to experience in time space is really about me realigning to love and remembering that really love is all there is. And love feels good, you know. Love is good. And so when I know that, I feel that, and I see that. And so Jesus says here, you know, I didn't do that crucifixion because I was, you know, sacrificing anything. I didn't do that because I was great and you guys are bad and I, you know, my blood, you have to carry my blood or, you know, you've got to repent. He just says, I did that to show you all that you do not have to do it anymore. Hang up the cross. Get off of it. Climb off of it, rise above it, and look at your circumstances. How do they look? Do they look good? If they don't look good, why aren't they looking good? What about you can't see the good? What about you can't feel the good? And so he rises above it, and he's dancing above the bodies, saying, I'm here, I didn't go. The only thing that left was a body called Jesus. The Christ, the God I am, is still here, always is, always will be. And that's the story of the Christ, all of us. You know, can we rise above the circumstances? Can we rise above the bodily conditions that we call cancer or called spoiled relationship or called, you know, poverty? Can we rise above them? Can we come to the state of full realization that the body is just a plaything? The relationships are just playthings. The money is just a mindset, our picture. Everything that we see, we ask to see according to how we feel about ourselves. This is so profoundly beautiful and so basic. What I feel about me is what I see in my world. So do I really have to go outside to change anything? Or do I have to come back in and love me more? When I love me more, all I want to do is love my world. I don't want to be beyond it. I don't want to be better than it. I want to be one with it. Because the true sense of love, the father's love for the child, is humble. It's so authentic that there's no boasting about it. And there's no effort. There's no doing. Just it. I am the richest one in the world, in my perceptual world, right here and now, because I know I am. I am the light of the world. I'm the heir to the kingdom of heaven, and so are you, and so are you, and so are you, and so are you, and so are you. And where is heaven? Here. When is it? Now. What do I have to do to get there? Love. What are we striving for? What is anyone here waiting for? I notice this in my perceptual reality that where I live in Florida, everybody's waiting. Somebody's waiting for something. When that happens, I'll go there. When he comes, I'll be there. When the money comes, I'll do that. When my body's better, I'll run. We're all projecting into the future, and there's no future to project into. So it's almost like, you know, just constantly denying our own presence. Here and now. To dance, I said the other day to somebody, if I could dance 24/7, I would be the happiest, most blissful person on the planet. Because the dance is really the dance of life. There's music and there's movement. And the movement is so personal and so divine that all I want to do is experience the movement of being love in every moment. And sometimes it's salsa, and sometimes it's a contemporary movement. Sometimes it's a march. Sometimes it's a resilient, radically naked experience. Jazz, modern jazz. And sometimes it's drama. But I'm dancing in that experience, knowing that it too will come to pass. Because it's only an experience that I choose to bring forth to validate my very existence. And my very existence might be misery in that moment. It might be joy. It might be poverty-minded. It might be disease. It might be, you know, hunger. So I validate it. I dance, and the partner shows up and gives me what I ask for. And that asking might be very, very quiet and very almost not heard by another, maybe never spoken. But it doesn't matter because I always get what I ask for. And what is the asking? It's the dance. Where am I dancing? How am I dancing? Well, what am I singing? It might even be a song. What am I singing? You know, what song am I song of suffering? Am I singing a song of joy? And do I go there in the human condition? Without a doubt. But when I remember, I come right back to love. Come back to loving my world. Because it, without love, we have nothing but a confused concept called separation. You know, there is nothing I can do because I don't have that. I don't have him. I don't have her. I don't have whatever. When in fact we have everything here and now. Everything is with us. So the crucifixion, he says, I'm sorry, and my brothers, sorry when my brothers do not share decision to hear only one voice because it weakens them as teachers and as learners. Yet I know they cannot really betray themselves or me, and that is still on them that I must build my church. There is no choice in this because only you can be the foundation of God's church. A church is where an altar is, and the presence of the altar is what makes the church holy. A church that does not inspire love has a hidden altar that is not serving the purpose for which God intended it. I must found his church on you because, where is it? I love this. I love this book. It's so beautiful.
because those who accept me as a model are literally my disciples. Disciples are followers, as the model they follow has chosen to save them pain in all respects. They are unwise not to follow him. I elected for your sake and mine in depth to demonstrate that the most outrageous assault, as judged by the ego, does not matter. As the world judges these things, but not as God knows them. I was betrayed, abandoned, beaten, torn, and finally killed. It was clear this is only because of the projection of others onto me, since I had not harmed anyone and had healed many. We are still equal as learners, although we do not need to have equal experiences. The Holy Spirit is glad when you can learn from mine and be awakened by them. That is their only purpose, and that is the only way in which I can be perceived as the way and the life. When you hear only one voice, you are never called on to sacrifice. On the contrary, by being able to hear the Holy Spirit in others, you can learn from their experiences and can gain from them without experiencing them directly yourself. That is because the Holy Spirit is one, and anyone who listens is inevitably led to demonstrate his way for all. And that's when everybody walks in my world to teach me exactly what it is that I can't see otherwise. The Holy Spirit is everyone showing me how far I've left my state of love or how close I am to you to know as I. You are not asked to repent my experience because the Holy Spirit whom we share makes this unnecessary. To use my experience constructively, however, you must still follow my example and how to perceive them. My brothers and yours are constantly engaged in justifying the unjustifiable. And that's what we see on Facebook all the time. Such unjustifiable treatment to blah, blah, blah. My one lesson which I must teach as I learned it is that no perception that is out of accord with the judgment of the Holy Spirit can be justified. I undertook to show this was true in an extreme case merely because it would serve as good teaching and to those whose temptation to give in to anger and assault would not be so extreme. I will with God that none of his sons should suffer. The crucifixion cannot be shared because it is the symbol of projection, but the resurrection is the symbol of sharing because the reawakening of every son of God is necessary to enable the sonship to know its wholeness. Only this is knowledge. The message of the crucifixion is perfectly clear. 1 second. If you teach only love, then that is what you are. If you interpret the crucifixion in any other way, you are using it as a weapon for assault rather than the call for peace for which it was intended. The apostles often misunderstood it, and for the same reason that anyone misunderstands it, their own imperfect love made them vulnerable to projection, and out of their own fear they spoke of the wrath of God as his retaliatory weapon, entirely without anger because their sense of guilt had made them angry. These are some of the examples of an upside-down thinking in the New Testament. Although its gospel is really only the message of love, if the apostles had not felt guilty, they would never have quoted me saying, I come not to bring peace but a sword. This is clearly the opposite of everything I taught. Nor could they have described my reaction, Judas, as they did. If they had really understood me, I could not have said, betray thou the Son of Man with a kiss, unless I believed in betrayal. The whole message of the crucifixion was simply that I did not. The whole message of the teacher was simply that I did not. The punishment I was said to have called forth upon Judas was a similar mistake. Judas was my brother and a son of God, as much a part of the sonship as myself. Was it like condemn him when I was ready to demonstrate that condemnation is impossible? As you read the teachings of the apostles, remember that I told them myself that there was much they would understand later, because they were not wholly ready to follow me at the time. I do not want you to allow any fear to enter into the thought system toward which I am guiding you. I do not call for martyrs, but for teachers. No one is punished for sins, and the sons of God are not sinners. Any concept of punishment involves projection of blame and reinforces the idea that blame is justified. The result is a lesson in blame, for all behavior teaches the beliefs that motivate it. The crucifixion was the result of clearly opposed thought systems, the perfect symbol of the conflict between the ego and the Son of God. This conflict seems just as real now, be learned now as well as then. I do not need gratitude, but you need to develop your weakened ability to be grateful. As you cannot appreciate God, he does not need your appreciation, but you do. You cannot love what you do not appreciate, for fear makes appreciation impossible. When you are afraid of what you are, you do not appreciate it and will therefore reject it. As a result, you will teach rejection. The power of the sons of God is present all the time because they were created as creators. Their influence on each other is without limit and must be used for their joint salvation. Each one must learn to teach that all forms of rejection are meaningless. The separation is the notion of rejection. As long as you teach this, you will believe it. This is not as God thinks, and you must think as he thinks if you are to know him again. Remember that the Holy Spirit is the communication link. If you will listen to his voice, you will know that you cannot either hurt or be hurt, and that many need your blessing to help them hear this for themselves. When you perceive only this need in them and do not respond to any other, you will have learned of me and will be as eager to share your learning as I am. And for me, that's one of the most beautiful sessions from A Course in Miracles, because in truth, we are only teachers here to teach love and to be models for those that are lost in the world, you know, lost in a concept that there are good guys and bad guys and right action and wrong action. When in fact, if I stay in love, I cannot do wrong. And I cannot be wrong. He says, you know, he says that Judas was his brother and still is and did exactly what he needed to do to show the world that guilt and fear was the cause of all pain and suffering. So for me, again, I have to come back to that. I feel in my heart so much love. And there's been so many aspects of me in this perceptual reality that have left my world because they didn't feel loved. You know, and to them, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry that you took away with you your own guilt and your own fear and your own pain. When in truth, I feel loved and I feel loved. Sometimes so much that I don't even know how to express it. I don't even know how to make it known other than to just sit still and allow myself to be embraced by God himself, you know. So that's what I really wanted to share tonight, because I really feel a lot of peace, and I know that the world as we know it is not in so much peace. There's a lot going on that I don't speak because I don't do the media. I don't really do anything other than keep my mind on aspects of life that feel right for me and keep me in peace. So, you know, so understand that, and the listeners, if you're hearing, you know, opposite from what you feel, it's because you're allowing yourself to be taken where you don't belong, really, in mind and in experience. Because in truth, if I keep my mind on love, love is all I see. It's as basic as that. And the world is full of multifaceted experiences perceptually because it is a relative reality with infinite possibilities. And everyone is a dream state because as I feel and see, my world is as I am. And so everyone from their perceptual reality is seeing a completely different universe. And that if the universe is not of love and of peace and of, well, being in good tidings, then again, it's about where I put my attention that matters, that is made into form. It matters. It is actually made into form. What I feel is made
crystallize. It really comes into being. So I think for me it's mandatory that I stay in love because love feels so right. It's absolutely the most beautiful experience that anyone can have. And I have been so blessed in my perceptual reality because I have experienced love beyond anything that I could have even imagined growing into, you know, adulthood. And so for me, I really feel that I have only one purpose, and that is to just completely remember in every moment over and over again how love feels, how love looks, you know, how love manifests. And it always brings one to peace, always. Somebody, I think it might have been Sabrina, one of the girls I spoke to the last couple of days, says there's no confusion in God. If there's any kind of conflict, it's not God. It's not you. It's not the truth of your being. It's just a misperceived mind that wants to be taken away from present moment. And the only way to come back to peace is to come into here and now, be still and know and breathe. Breathe, breathe in and out in equal measure. That's the only true state of being. Because everything else in the body is just it's just a trip. It's just a skit. It's just a performance. You know? The only truth is the spirit I am, which is love. And do I want to stay in the body and experience that? Yeah, I love to stay in the body and dance. You know, dance to all kinds of music and not judge any of it as being right or wrong or good or bad or perfect or not perfect. Stay here. Knowing love, every cell, as I say it all the time, every cell of my being feels enlightened when I speak like this, when I go to this space within myself. I feel like every cell is being born again. And it is. I'm not the same from moment to moment when I stay present. It's like lifetimes end and begin. And they begin anew, truly anew, with an innocent state of love. And the canvas is blank and waiting to be colored by the child I am, by the innocence I am. You know, power of the big mountains that we build with all kinds of stuff. But what is the experience? And then to share it, to experience the peak experience, and then share it. And then come back to present moment as a child again and begin again. Because this is the only place that I really feel alive. Everything else is a projection of what was. You know? And for anyone who's out there who hasn't experienced The Course in Miracles, the book itself, I mean, it is so profoundly awesome. You know, throughout that book, and there's many, many pages of the text, the Course Miracles, and then, you know, the daily lessons, I mean, and then there's the teacher's manual. There is not one space that upsets me. Everything about it is like singing the most divine song or reading the most beautiful poetry. And it just makes so much sense. And then at the end it says, forget this course and go back to heaven with God, basically paraphrasing. But it's saying, forget this world, forget this course, and come back to the holy space, knowing that God is. And I am. And God is I am. With that in mind, God is I am. What could we fear? What are we worrying about? Who do we want to save? What do we want to fix? Who do we want to help? God is I am. He doesn't need our help. And each one of us are absolutely connected to the source of all being, which is God, which is the pure essence of love. All of us are. Who do I have to fix? All I have to do is stay present and remember I am one with love. God is the infinite field of potential, is crowning me in every moment. And it's up to me whether I want to accept that loyal state or to reject it. someone was channeling last night with me, an aspect of me, and she goes into different time frames, different timelines, because for me, I believe they're simultaneous. And she's bringing me into different timelines, and she's seeing me in each one, and I know that she's identifying it because I'm feeling it. And as I'm feeling it, I'm feeling powered because I'm remembering God. And that's all I ever have to do. I don't have to remember what happened there, who's going to do that, you know, he's this, you know, I've got to... No, when I stay in that remembrance, I can't want for anything. I need, in the moment, there it is. I want, there he is. And the fact of the matter is, there is really nothing but me showing me what I feel. Am I aligned to God or am I not? And when I am the richest in the world. There's hands up, so I'm going to answer the call. And I love you all dearly with all my heart. Thank you for letting me express myself out loud, letting me hear myself, that which desires to come through me, at me. Oh, God, it's such a beautiful gift that I give myself. And so I'm going to open up, and this is area code 347. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, it's Sabrina, Ananda. How are you?
Okay, honey. How are you?
Good, good, good. Just calling, saying hello. I'm listening to the show. Everything sounds beautiful.
Anything you want to add?
I mean, I'm just sitting here listening, and everything is just like kind of lulling me. I want to say, I'm just like, you know, I'm pretty much in agreement with everything you're saying, living in the moment and being at peace and having everything that you know you perceptualize to want, because that's really all that. I mean, we get so attached to the physical, and it's just one aspect of a multidimensional life, you know.
Yeah.
But it feels so good. I mean, it feels so good to remember love. Because when you really get into the state of remembrance, that other is with you, you know. And that coupling, and whatever that coupling might be the good girlfriend that you know, the fun girlfriend you always have, or it's the delicious bed. You know, I love when they put new sheets on my bed. Oh, my God, I just washed my sheets tonight. I get so excited because I love being in a clean bed. That's my perception
right.
of God.
With
you know?
The cool sheets.
And all of that, I clean my dad's room. I feel, you know, that gift of, it's like I feel like I'm cleaning God's palace. I feel like I'm, you know, really being here and doing what I'm supposed to do. And I feel so right because the only doing is being loved. And, you know, if that body that I think need love me isn't loving me outside of me, it's certainly loving me inside of me, you know.
Right.
And no matter what occurs, if I come back to this present remembrance, everything heals. Everything is good. It's great. Told
beautiful.
Right. I don't be told wrong. I don't need the lessons. I don't need the gift of, you know, all the, well, let me give you ideas. There's only one idea, love. There's only one answer, God. So, you know, what else?
Absolutely.
Do you want me a pill? No. Don't give me pills. Give me God. You know?
Absolutely. You know, sometimes we forget that's the one place we have to seek for, you know, help. I mean, we're never really alone. No.
Never. Even though sometimes it really, if I let myself go to the other body, or the other location, or that which I desire to be with outside of me, it could seem like it's like a desert and I'm lost and alone. But the fact is, it's only like that because I take myself away from the present moment. I put my attention on that instead of here and now. And
would
I
you
really
want,
believe,
you know, it's almost like you feel like the separation. Would you want somebody that you care about to feel desolate and alone? And it's almost like when you remember the love, you realize that hurting yourself, you are hurting others that love you, that you may not be in first thought because we're hampered by negative thoughts sometimes. I mean, you know, it is human. You know, sometimes you have to appreciate the rain to see the sunshine. You know, you get 10 straight days of sunshine and you forget how great this is until you get 10 days of rain.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
You know, I mean, it's part of it. It's part of the drama of life, you know, and it's going to happen, of course. But, you know, after being in that remembrance, you realize, like, you're actually causing pain. By causing yourself pain, you're causing pain to others as well.
Exactly, and that is, when you come to that awareness, it's so profound, because it could scare the, it can scare the wits out of you, and then it also could bring you to such a sense of peace that what I do to myself is what I am doing to others. And when I say that, I mean it, because I believe it is all about me outpictured. I don't see the other as anything in my perceptual world but what I would have them be. Now, again, which I always share from their perceptual world, it's a whole different ballgame, but I choose to stay here with my God so that I could, and Daniel always says, your God, but the truth is, it is my personal relationship, which might be different from another's, you know. But in my, that's the only security and safety that I feel is when I come back to the remembrance that God is and that I am. Because if I say an I am is without a God, I am completely nuts, because then the persona starts doing the fear and the pain and the judgment and justice and injustice, and it becomes, you know, it becomes like a crazy, I used to say in my class, it's like you're in a bumping cars all day long, and you may not be like really knocked up and in pain, but you know what, you're getting bumped and pushed, and it gets, after a while, it's completely not beautiful and not comfortable. So I have to remember that God's way is the only way. Love is the only answer to everything.
Absolutely.
Not to judge or to try to fix that mess on the internet, or not to try to petition against that or to try to save that. Because, in fact, as soon as I do that, I'm not with God anymore. I don't believe God is the way. You know, and I think for me, it's the only peace that I've ever found is the remembrance that I am the recipient of God, or I reject God. I either accept him or reject him. And if I reject him, it's hell. I don't care how little it is, it's hell. And so that's really what I've come to share tonight, because it is really about not just the coined phrase present moment, but to feel the love in the moment, to feel the embrace, knowing that the Father, Heavenly Father, is above you, guiding you, and above you in the highest, you know, state of remembrance in your own mind, because it really is within you. Kingdom of Heaven is within you. The Christ is I am. He said that, you know. So the fact is when I remember that all that I've ever required is already all I am, all of a sudden, my body starts tingling. I'm it. Everything I wanted is I am. I am it. And if I'm not seeing it in the mirror, then I'm not looking. I'm looking elsewhere. I'm turning my attention away from what is. And that's when the magic really starts happening. That's when all of a sudden I'm working in the aid center and the girl that's on 25th Street, you know, doing sixes, what they call it when they do tricks, and doing crack, is all of a sudden coming to work at 9 o'clock every morning dressed like she's a Vogue model, and she's answering the calls, and she's, you know, she's one of the sick ones. It's her agency that she's coming for services, and now all she wants to do is help people. And it happened so fast that I don't even see space and time between it. And why? Because she felt loved. You know? So love is the only cure for anything, any dis-ease that's happening in our perceptual reality, whether it be my body, your body, his body, it doesn't matter. In my presence, it cannot be if I'm in love. And not love, I love him and I need him. Yeah, that'd be nice. I'd love to have the him. But the reality is I am already with him in truth, in spirit, right? Because spirit is the only truth there is. And that little section that I read about the crucifixion, he's saying, come on, all you guys, don't you understand? The only reason I was on that cross because you projected it on me and I bought into it in the moment. I always say that. You know, the world outside of Jesus, while he's on the cross, we're all judging him. Even at the end, there's only, you know, Mary, Mother, and was it John or Peter, whichever one was standing by him, or John. You know, and everybody else was running. They were frightened. They can't look. Oh, my God. So they're projecting all, he was projecting all his insecurities, looking at all these aspects of just archetypes of his own persona, pictured. That's what his disciples were, the doubter, the fear-based one, the betrayer. They're all parts of Jesus, all parts of every one of us. And if we accept them as anything but angels that are here to show us our own infirmaries, our own dazed, confused mind, you know, if we really get that, we want to eat with them, we want to break bread with them, we want to kiss them and say, thank you for betraying me. Oh, I didn't know it was me that did it to myself. I had to teach them Course in Miracles, and half the people would move out, walk out in the middle, because they could not believe that I was saying that the avenger or the attacker or the perpetrator is your angel. They couldn't get it. Aspect of me that could not get it. If someone is giving you a hard time, it's your best teacher, because it's showing you your own weakness. So Jesus loved Judas the most, because he showed him the part of him that killed him, the part of him that lived within him that actually caused his own crucifixion, which we do all the time. We fight. Anytime I fight with my brother, my brethren, I'm causing my own crucifixion. I'm believing the lie that I am a body. I'm going to die. No, I am spirit. The body is just an outer garment that I have even projected to make it identifiable as me. Because in truth, my body is what I believe I am. And it's a, hey, the last year, my body has shifted dramatically. Because I don't see me but as anything but beautiful. My heart, my spirit is beautiful. And my physical body is very much acceptable by me, first time ever. Because I am, is connected to my source. Is it perfection? Yes. For me. It's mine. I love it. I love what I've brought forth. I've allowed to be brought forth through me now. I'm not making it up as I go anymore. I'm not making it up. I'm not getting in the way anymore. I'm letting it decide, letting love decide. And when that happens, age, it's not even a factor. I mean, I don't even conceptualize time, because time is a distractor for me, for us. The body of love is a distractor for us, for me. You know, money for us, for me. It's a distractor. All it is a means to an end. I mean, if you look at it from the perspective of someone, let's just say, who doesn't watch, like I don't watch the media, social media is my media, so I don't watch the media. And if I hear anything or see anything, it is so apparent what's going on. It doesn't look like outside of me anymore. It doesn't look like, wow, look at that world. All of a sudden I go, oh, wow, was I confused? Look at that. You could actually see the actual script as it's written for you, to show you. Think, isn't it? Look at that. Wow. Come back to love. Come back to peace. Come back to peace. I'm watching it. I'm looking at the computer really quick. It says inner peace. And the truth is that the only you know, the only place that feels right, you know, for me it's a hard one, because I always say, you know, when you're a parent in the world of, you know, opposites as we are, you know, your kids, oh my God, he's sick, he's problem, she's gone, he's crying, she's lonely, whatever, it's our children, you know. But if I'm good, there's a really good chance they are. Our children are our best teachers. They show us exactly what we feel within, you know. They show us how connected we are to source. And it's not about, I'm going to church, maybe few it is. No, it's about me staying present, knowing I am love, breathing in, breathing out, nice and easy, simple, not expanding. No, that's not the word.
it's not expounding or sending out too much, you know, pushing out breath and pulling in breath and pushing out breath and pulling. It's about the free flow in, beautiful way to rebalance, to come back to center, to come back to the present moment love. I feel so much love right now. I mean, I feel so much bodily love right now. What could be better? What could be better? Really, to sit in the present moment, feeling every one of your cells in bliss. In bliss. Even if there is a pang in my leg, right now my right leg is a little bit of throbbing, and all of a sudden the left of me is so excited. It's like celebrating that the right shin is going, oh, I can't do this. I got to join the party. I'm going to join in the celebration. So use that concept called cells in the body, which there's millions of cells, right, as one aspect of our perceptual reality. And if we want to change that reality, we have to stay good. We have to stay loved. And as I do that, it actually ripples out into my physical body and then my physical world. And everything around me now is balanced and in love in the moment. I'm feeling great in the moment. You know, and you do start seeing people heal in your presence. You still start seeing people really raising from the dead, and, you know, from the depression to all of a sudden they're feeling okay. You really start seeing that everything is reacting to you, performing for you, what you feel inwardly for you. So I give it up. I say, you know what, I give it up. I don't know how to love me, but God does. God does. So I become a child who's learning how to love herself. How? By becoming present in heaven, here and now, with God, knowing He'll show me the way. And sometimes I get a ribbon, and sometimes I get a prize, and sometimes I get a pat in the back. Sometimes I feel my back. This is for years now, being massaged. My neck, all of a sudden, it starts throbbing, and I feel like Jesus is massaging. You know? Again, this is all for me, and I feel selfish, but you know what? I just love being able to hear myself tell me that I love, that I'm loved. Anyway, there's other callers. Let me open up the line. Stay on the line, Sabrina. Okay. Hello? Hello? Who's there? Anyone there? Okay, I'm going to put it back on hold. As I said, my computer, the big one doesn't snatch them in, and the little one, thank God I have it, because I, you know, at least I can answer calls. But anyway, so Sabrina, what about you, honey? Is there any, anything that's...
I mean, I'm in agreement with everything. I just recently, with everything going on, you know, spoke to my mom about, you know, because I'm basically, there's not a lot of good news in my household, I want to say. Not that, you see, I don't want to use those words, but finances are a problem. There's health problems and whatnot. And, you know, we touched on reacting to your environment, and it seems like in the most crucial times, that's when you get tested the most, you know.
Yeah.
You want to fight.
But now, before you go on, honey, but who's testing you, really?
Right.
It's you, because God doesn't test, never. It's only you that says, oh, wait a second, this seems different. I better go back to what
I don't think the, you know, mountains we have to climb are, like, a tax on me or anything like that. It's actually really just for growth as we, you know, proceed forward. But, you know, it's weird. It's like sometimes with experience, you lose track, you know, you talk about remembrance of love and whatnot and innocence. And, you know, as you go through life experience, you tend to forget. You lose that innate wisdom. It's different than, you know, how you physically pay your bills, get through the times, and, you know, how you take care of this and the processes of things and responsibilities, that you forget that there's something more to life. We're not just robotic, you know. We are with spirit. We are spirit. I mean, if there was a way to, like, withdraw a spirit for a time, you know, out of a body with the checking heart and the science is there, I'm not even sure if you could carry a conversation, to be honest with you, you know. So, you know, getting back to tribulations and living with spirit and having faith. Faith means that you don't live in doubt. You know, that was something I had to get rid of. You believe or you don't, and if you believe, you believe with your full heart. So when there's seems to be no light at the end of the tunnel, and you can't see the end of it because you can't see a way out of a problem, you've got to come to the conclusion that you can be that and are that light. It's going to light up the way, you know, and you could just stay in the tunnel forever, basically.
Right.
You know, but as long as you're emitting your light, you know. And
there's a story that Wayne Dyer tells. I don't know if you heard about, but the girl that was in captive, I think it was in Africa, and she wrote a book, and she came into his life, and he shared her, I think, on one of his shows on PBS. You know, he gave her the stage so that she could, you know, basically tell her story. And she was, like, locked in a little bathroom with, like, four women, like, for 4 years or something. And, you know, she became enlightened. Because, again, the circumstances really don't matter. It's the belief or the attention that we pay the circumstances that matter. And when I say matter, it's twofold. It really is about becoming form. So for her, she had to, at some point, completely become so present that she did not see the bodily condition, you know. And even the woman in this, The Shadow Effect, which is a great movie that Debbie Ford, that she wrote and with the Wayne Dyer and Marianne Williamson, and the movie was beautiful. And in the movie, one of the little girls that was in the concentration camp, her and her mother and her sister were taken, and the sister and her were, you know, watched the mom be killed. And they became prisoners. You know, they weren't killed because the sister started doing ballet. And she did the ballet for the officers, so they adored her. I mean, she was like a superstar. And she said that when she used to do her ballet, they didn't exist, that she was basically doing it for God, and she survived. And she survived so beautifully that her life is about showing people forgiveness and stuff. So what you're talking about, basically, I find, is what I just shared, is that at some point you really do not see what's missing or what, you know, you what's not right, or you don't judge at all because all you see is God. And that's my quest. I mean, that's my dream, is just to be God realized. And I know that it sounds like, even to myself, I say, oh, my God, that would be so boring not to be able to move. But I don't believe that's going to happen, because I believe when you're in God realization, it is eternal, but that doesn't mean I have to stay in that eternal static reality. I could dance, you know. I could go back and forth. I could dance and come back, because it really is a playground anyway. And whether we choose to play in the traffic or play in a beautiful garden of peace, it's still a game. It's still, you know, it's still really not the truth. The truth of our being is we are God. I am. God is I am. We are one with God. God is all there is. So we're just experiencing what it's like to be separate from God himself. And again, for me, for whatever reason, I feel that the only real life is God, is love. And, you know, I have nothing else that I want. There's nothing else that I really need to do this lifetime in conscious awareness anyway. You know, in other realities, maybe I'm doing all kinds of different things. But here and now is where my attention is, and this is where I want to be.
The movie Gravity has a realization of God in it for the main character, and I'm not sure how many moviegoers might catch on to that, but I was pleasantly surprised by it. I actually cried in the movie theater.
Which,
you know,
one
I think
that?
Some people might call it instinct, you know, but no, I think it was God realization. I think you might agree with me after watching it. It was quite, moving. Gravity with George Clooney and Sandra Bullock.
Nobody here wanted to see it.
No spoiler alerts. I'm just saying that's what I picked up on, and I think I was the only one in the theater with a wet eye. So,
Maybe when I come up, I can see if it's still out, because nobody here is on the same, they're just not on the same wavelength. They didn't want to see it. So, and I do, and I don't do the movies, so must be a reason why I want to see it.
I haven't seen one in the theater for a long time. This one was in 3D. I mean, a long time, like years. I can't remember the last time what movie I saw. And
yeah.
We saw it, and it was actually, like, moving, very moving. I wasn't expecting it. I went for the special effects, but...
I have, again, for me, it is, and I didn't see the movie, but I could feel the expansion and the remembrance and just the whole energy field of it coming through you. And so anything that really, and for me, love, making love, I'm going to go back to that for a second because, you know, they talk about tantric love, and a lot of people on the internet share, you know, the true state of consciousness and enlightenment is making love consciously. And I got to tell you that, oh, my God, you know, for me, there is nothing that best represents the sacred union of male-female within is that experience. And, you know, it is sacred, and it cannot be misused, you know. And if it is misused, oh, what a waste, you know. Because I really feel I've been that with that, and it is me, and it is an out-picturing. I could never, ever experience it any different than I've experienced in that, you know, remembrance. And so I just wanted to share that because I think as a female I am, it took me a long time to accept that because I was very male in energy, very dominant from this, you know, experience that I've had, which I call the one union, the sacred union. I really started seeing why the female is the female, you know, in the physical incarnation of body, you know.
I'm actually hearing a lot about 2013 being in the divine female, and that's why there's a lot of twin souls coming about. Now, I don't know where this information is, but it does feel like a feminine kind of a year. It did. It felt like there was a lot more openness to love. And of course, that could be my own reality, but it just seems like a softer year, almost.
Well, something happened today, which is really wild, but the book that I'm writing that I keep talking about, the last chapter, is called The Twin Soul Reunion, A Match Made in Heaven. It's all about the divine female. So, and I started writing that 4 years ago, so it really is time, I believe. But one of the ladies that does a sacred, I mean, she does a twin soul list, today wrote something that was really profound, and it upset me a little bit. So, you know, I was taken away from love, and that, you know, again, that's very hard for me. I would rather come back. But saying that, the twin flame, which is another, you know, here we go, another representative of another is one, is the true union. That all the twin souls, there's 12 of them, and each one of them represent, they're like workers, in a sense. They bring you back to the one, you know. And I had
He said there's 12.
I had literally, which I shared on last show, 3 people that claimed to be my twin souls. Well, one that didn't claim, Rick didn't claim it, but, you know, Brian Weiss, Many Life, Many Masters, said, yeah, he's your twin, your Siamese twin. I was like, what is that? I didn't have any idea, but that was representative of a twin soul. And so did Anton, and then so did John. And, like, none of them. I said, thank you. We have, you know, with each one of them, I gained another step in creation because I got really inspired. But none of them matched the one that I know is the one, you know?
Right. Well, I mean...
So I don't want any twin soul.
I believe that.
I don't want them showing up. You know, I don't need that. I have it. I'm done.
Compared to the rest, this is the most profound. However, you know, in my years, I've bumped into a lot of people I've made soul promises with that we've ran parallel lives, that we bump into each other at random airports, and it's like, you know, like you don't skip a beat. You're just exactly where you are. Actually, those relationships for me are way more comfortable, because with the twin soul, it is all about personal growth, and we just teach each other lessons, profound lessons, things that maybe I should have learned, you know, even though time is of the essence and doesn't exist, and we should only live in the present, but things that he'd say to me, they were told to me before, I just never heard it before when it was said by the lips of someone else. So it was just, it's like I need all my soulmates, you know, like I have 100% love for all of them, my males, my females, ones that, I mean, you know, we're there for each other. We have that pure love for each other. This, on another hand, though, it's amplified. It's at a higher frequency. It's profound. So I almost hope this never happens again.
Well, that's
not that it's not a blessing, but I mean, for another person, I'm going to go into shock. I'm going to end up in a hospital if this happens again. I'm going to go into shock.
That when you think about it, though, I mean, your husband is no less than my, I mean, I had a 6-year union, a 19-year union, and a 12-year union. My second husband, anybody was, you know, a twin soul, it was him. I mean, I was everything. I mean, I was a prince of
it.
Right,
it was
twin
soul a life mate, you say. Because I feel like we have life mates as well, but they may not be your twin, you know what I mean? Just because...
That's why I don't believe that. I don't believe there's twin souls in multiplied. I believe that...
I don't either, because I would think that would be a triple soul. Like maybe you're a triplet, you know? Or, you know, octuplet. I don't know. They used to say, you know, I'm New York. They used to tell me, man, God broke the mold when he made you. Then I had my son. Besides that, I met my twin. It's not enough. It's enough. It's we're good. We have enough of Sabrina in this world as it is.
But that's true. You know, what about our kids? My son, my two sons are like both sides of me. They are absolute left. John is me and Anthony's me. It's like, but different aspects,
my
they
son
are
and
so
I,
me.
We're like oil and water, but if somebody tried to come between us, you know, so
be
it's
then.
Because we're so similar, right? But you see,
so
a
they,
twin
are they
mirrors
not twins?
You.
No, they're not twins.
They're not
I'm
twins. You see, a twin mirrors you. I mean, your child can be a twin, though. I wouldn't be surprised by that.
I don't know about that. I think that's a bond.
Because there's no right. Because then it's not. This is. You see, this is on another level. Like I don't. What about siblings? Would you? You see, because there's a sexual aspect that strange.
Well,
isn't
you know
it?
What's weird. You know what's really strange. And we're going. I'm going off. Go to have a second moment. But this is fun. It's very odd because my number in the love cards, which is something I've been really total about for a lot of years because I love to see things really make sense, you know? So I do numerology a different way. I do everything a different way. And I got these love cards for years now, 15, 25 years. As soon as they came out, I was playing with them. And I'm a Three of Hearts. And the Three of Hearts, there's only two of them in the whole deck. And so a friend of mine asked her friend who's helped design them, what does it mean? Well, Three of Hearts are very unique in that they have a very special life purpose, and their life is very hard because they have to go through a lot of stuff. Anyway, my brother, who I have no relationship with, his second card, there's two cards, it's Three of Hearts, and my father's second card, Three of Hearts. Nobody else that I know on the planet that has those cards. So there's got to be some kind of karmic, you know, soulmate, definitely. It's almost like a signature in the blueprint. That just balances that for me because of those cards. But the fact of the matter is, there is nothing.
Well, the three is a triangle because, like, some of the depictions of the twin soul reunion, I mean, I really do love some of this imagery. It's a man, a woman, and this energy circulating between them. And they say that that's the spirit of God flowing through both of them, and they're both experiencing it. Now, thing that I read about it, and it struck home. And I mean, I remember this time I was at a fair with my father. It's silly, but I was very young, and we did the wheel, the prize wheel.
Years.
So I chose a number and I switched it. The first number came out and it was the top tier. He told me, he goes, may that teach you a lesson. Always go with your first instinct. So when I read it, it said that there was a global and a higher purpose for the twin flames to meet. Okay. And that was absolutely to this day that this is true in me. Like, this is what it feels that profound. That not everybody is going to be so blessed, and there isn't a good or bad inside, outside, you know. So saying blessed and thinking like there's a gift, so the gift comes with pain, and if we stay at that neutral level with it, we realize that it is unique to meet your twin in this particular lifetime, whether it's your last. I have no idea, because I don't know anybody who returned and said, you know what, my last lifetime, like, absolutely true, this is what happened. I don't know anybody, you know, except Jesus Christ. So, you know, we share a love that most people don't even experience.
Right.
And we should. All right,
but
we...
Go ahead, honey.
No, I'm sorry. I'm here.
No, I interrupted you. We have 2 minutes left.
Okay. All right, I'll wrap it up. You know, but just that maybe we are supposed to spread the love and independently as well, because obviously we both need tuning up, you know?
Yeah.
The whole preparedness about it, you know? We want to be in the light of God.
When I come back to the present moment with this relationship in me, and, you know, I'm going to give that to you, so I want to end with this tonight. That every time that I feel him, let him know joy. Every time that I love, let him feel overwhelmed with the love, you know. And any time he touches another. I mean,
that's
but this is really symbolic.
I think it's for everyone, Amanda.
I think the love you feel
for him and each other, we should all be part of that.
But we are all, and that's the point.
Right.
So that's one more thing I want to share before we go, is that it's important to remember that, I mean, I used to get the vision before anybody wrote about it, about the two female and male, the pillars of light and the lotus opening. I used to get the internal vision. But the fact is, we have an obligation because of the love to share it. And so I want to state it out loud that, you know, it is, he's there, I'm here, there is a pillar of each of us, and there's a rainbow that goes back and forth that we have to keep fully faceted in the different colors of the spectrum and not allow the light to dim at all, you know? And that's why I want to share.
Living that present moment and the remembrance,
right.
Because you're going to emit that love and light for everyone that you encounter, and that's where it snowballs in a good, positive way. And
right.
Smile, you know, live, smile, be happy. I mean, we are blessed. I mean, that was one of my first things, too. Like, how amazing, how lucky are we? We don't even, if I die today, I'd die happy. That's how I felt.
Right. And the fact is that we are, you know, we are all in that love nature. And so we have an obligation to share. So I wanted to send that out tonight, that everyone who's listening, to feel that love, to be that pillar of love, and to know that on the other side of the experience, there's another doing the same, and there's another doing the same. There's another. So we have a multifaceted spectrum of light that just keeps, you know, flying back and forth, and everyone in our world is reaping the benefits of the love and the light that we are. So we are closed now. The show is over. I thank you so much for being here, Angel. And I love you all.
Everybody live in love and light.
Yeah, and let's be remembering that we are one with love, and that we want for nothing. Just stay in the peace of knowing that we are loved, and just be loving. Because, I mean, that's the key to everything. All right, baby. Have a wonderful night. I love you guys. Good night.